Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Once when Jesus was praying in private and His disciples were with Him, He asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me will save it." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, who do you say that I am? Well, for starters, you know that my name is Joe Lindloff, and you know that I'm studying at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary to become a pastor, only because I told you that in my introduction this morning. But by those two pieces of information, can you truly say that you know who I am? Now, what if I was to tell you that I was born in Montana, raised in Nebraska, then moved to Michigan where my family still lives, then I moved to Wisconsin where I'm now studying to become a pastor. I'm the middle child of five boys. Yes, I feel sorry for my mom too. My dad is a pastor. I coach basketball as part of my job. And last but not least, I married Julie Boggs only 6 months ago. Now, who do you say that I am? Before I told you all these pieces of information about me, you could speculate and you could try and figure out who I was, but you didn't truly know. But now that I have revealed to you so many things about me, I think that you can truly say that you know who I am. In our lesson for this morning, we hear that same question asked, but this time by Jesus. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" The crowds truly didn't understand who Jesus was. But then He turns to His disciples and He gets the answers He's looking for. Peter says, "You are the Christ of God." A beautiful proclamation of the Savior, the One who was to come. With the Scriptures having been revealed to us, we too can see who Christ is. We can see the fullness of Christ, everything that He is. We can see that His passion is perfect. And we can see that our calling as Christians is to live out our lives each and every day and carry our cross for Christ. At this time in Jesus' ministry, and as we heard in the Gospel lesson, He was doing miracle after miracle. The first one that we heard of was Him calming the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was doing so many miracles and such a great crowd was following Him that He just needed to get away. So His disciples loaded Him into a boat and they set off on the Sea of Galilee. And there it happened that the Sea of Galilee rose up in a fierce storm. The disciples were so terrified by this storm that they shook Jesus and woke Him up. With only His words, Jesus calmed that storm. Miracle number one. In the ensuing chapters, we hear that Jesus brought a demon-possessed man back to full health. He raised a young girl from the dead. And He even healed a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. As if these miracles weren't enough, Jesus fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, most of us have heard that story before, but can you truly imagine that scene? 5,000 people is such a large number, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. They have nothing to eat. With such a small quantity, Jesus feeds all of them with 12 baskets full left. So, why did Jesus have to ask the question, "Who do they say that I am?" Isn't it clear what Jesus was doing? Isn't it clear that through His miracles that He was the Savior? The fact of the matter was is that throughout Jesus' entire ministry, His identity was up for question. Even Herod was asking, who is this Jesus? There was almost a tension that was building, and finally Jesus just asked the question, who do they say that I am? Listen again to their response. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. After hearing these words, I know exactly what I'm thinking. Are you kidding me? Could these people be more oblivious to the fact that the Savior, the promised Messiah, was standing right in front of them? They had every evidence that they could want. He was raising people back to life, something that nobody else could even have thought of doing. The disciples gave a much better answer, though. He turned to the disciples and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter, the spokesman of the disciples, stands up and says, you are the Christ of God. What an amazing proclamation. This is the first time recorded in the Bible that someone publicly proclaims Jesus as the Christ. Can you imagine how this must have made Jesus feel? Jesus, their Savior, their friend, was with them almost every second of every day, preaching to them, teaching to them, showing them the truth. And now, for the first time, the disciples got it. They recognized that He was the Christ, the promised Messiah. See, the disciples knew the Scriptures, and they knew that in the book of Deuteronomy, a promised Messiah was to come. This is what Deuteronomy 18:15 says. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. This was him. This was the promised Messiah, and now they finally understood. So friends in Christ, picture Jesus blowing open the doors to the narthex, marching right up the aisle, standing where I am in front of you, and asking you the same question. Who do you say that I am? Would you be able to say, like the disciples, you are the Christ of God? Or would you be like one in the crowd, knowing that you're in the presence of greatness, but not fully understanding who Christ is? Sad to say, but I think that a lot of us would err on the side of one in the crowd. We understand that Jesus is a great man, and we understand that we should pray to Him and that He can do so many things. But do we truly understand who Christ is? When your life gets turned upside down in an instant, when you lose your job, when you don't think that you can pay the bills, when you lose a loved one, isn't it then that you fall to your knees and you look up to God and you say, Lord, please help me. I can't do this alone. I really need you right now. Please help. But how about when you're cruising down the interstate 70 miles an hour and there's no traffic in sight? You have a great job. You're making all the money you could want. You're buying everything that you want. Your family is all healthy. Everything is just as it should be. Then, do you look up to Christ and say, thank you, Lord, for everything you've blessed me with? I know I don't. It's then that we slip into this sleep, this lack of dedication to Christ. We forget that we are not good, but Christ is the one who has blessed us with everything in this life. He is the one who has given us our family, our friends, our earthly possessions, not us. So friends in Christ, recognize the fullness of Christ. In times of trouble, He is your friend. You can turn to Him, you can pray to Him. In times of need, He is your Father. You can lean on His shoulder. And most of all, He is your Savior. Turn to Him, recognize that Christ is all and always will be your all. So Peter confesses Jesus correctly and says, "You are the Christ of God." And then Jesus follows up by saying, "Don't go and tell anybody." Why would he tell him this? Isn't this the gospel message that is supposed to be proclaimed to all people? Yes, it is, but the fact of the matter was this was not the correct time. Jesus had so much more to do. He had so much more preaching and teaching to do on his way to Jerusalem, and this was not the time to do it. If he would have told everybody that he was the Christ, it would have only jeopardized all of the rest of his ministry. Luke even tells us that after Peter says that Jesus is the Christ, his eyes again become clouded over, and he doesn't truly understand why Jesus is there. Although this is hard for us to understand, Jesus had a plan, and he carried out that plan perfectly. What followed in Luke is the climax of the text. Jesus predicts his passion. Now, when you hear the word passion in this context, don't think of it as, "Well, my passion is for music." When you hear passion, Jesus' passion refers to his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. That was his passion, and his passion was perfect. You see, from birth, all of you, including myself, are sinful. With inherited sin, we have this old Adam in us that can do nothing but hate God. We push him out constantly. We struggle. We fight him. We constantly try and push him out of our lives. And on the other hand, we have this new man through faith and through Christ. And it's that constant battle that goes on. But it's that sin that we have that needs to be forgiven. And that's why it was necessary for Jesus to do this passion. Jesus, in the Greek, refers to his passion as one little word. One three-letter word, dei. If you look closely, it means it is necessary. How cool to be able to see his passion linked to this word. Because this wasn't something that Jesus could have decided to do. "Well, maybe, you know, I might do it, maybe I might not." It's not something that, "Well, there might be another way." It was necessary for Jesus to do this. It was necessary for him to suffer so many things, to die on the cross, and ultimately to be resurrected. Because through his passion, our sins are forgiven. And this earth is not our home, but heaven is our home. Through Jesus' proclamation of his earthly passion, and through the completion of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus reveals his fullness. We see that his passion was absolutely perfect. And now we see that our calling as Christians is to carry our crosses daily for Christ. Listen again to verses 23 and 24. "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it.'" When we talk about a cross, we need to realize that without Jesus, there is no cross. If Jesus would have suffered and would have died, but wouldn't have raised back to life, wouldn't the object of our faith be nothing? But through Jesus' resurrection, we can see that he has power, even power over death. Our faith has an object, and that is Jesus. And now he tells us to carry our cross out of love and out of thankfulness for him, because we are Christians. One aspect of your cross that I want you to really focus on this morning is how unique your cross is. The cross that I bear, it's not the same as the cross that you bear. His cross is not the same as her cross. No one's cross is the same. So what is your cross? What are you going through? What are you bearing upon your shoulders? What temptations, what trials are going through your mind and through your lives every day. Whatever it is, know that you have a friend, a Savior who you can turn to. A Savior who not only reigns above, but reigns with you. Someone that you can turn to. And your cross is something you have to bear all the time, isn't it? Something each and every day that you struggle with. Maybe you've never even told anyone about it. But know that you can tell someone about it. Know that as Christians, you have a friend. Someone that you can bear your cross with and bear your cross for. Because He bore the heaviest cross of all. That cross that had each and every one of your sins and my sins nailed to it. And He carried it upon His shoulders all the way to Golgotha, where He buried them once and for all. Listen again to verse 15 of our lesson from 2 Corinthians. And He, that is Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So how can we live for Christ? He tells us. We can bear our cross. So many people in this world think that the term Christian gives you some sort of immunity, don't they? If you are a Christian, nothing bad should ever happen to you. Nothing should ever come into your life that is too hard to handle. Nothing should ever happen to a Christian. Is that true? We look to Scripture and we see that even Jesus tells us it's not going to be easy. This world is full of sin, but as Christians, we have someone who can bear those sins with us and bear those trials and those temptations for us. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." Brothers and sisters, your cross and my cross, they are all unique. But whatever you are bearing, know that it is for Christ who buried your sins once and for all. Your calling as a Christian is to bear your unique cross for Christ. It's sometimes hard to look back and to read the Bible and to see why and to wonder why the disciples and those around them didn't understand who Christ was. But in due time, Jesus revealed to them fully who He was. Verses 31 and 32 of Luke 24 say, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. Then they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?'" Jesus walked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and in His power He closed their eyes, but finally He revealed to them His full glory. They understood it, and now was the time to spread the gospel. Now was the time to spread that the Savior came. He fulfilled His perfect passion. And now, as Christians, to live out their lives for Him. The fullness of Christ can be revealed to us and has been revealed to us through the Scriptures. So study God's Word. Let your hearts burn as you listen to Him, as you read His Word, so that you may fully understand who our Lord and Savior Jesus is. You can recognize the fullness of Christ. You can see that His passion of His suffering, His death, and His resurrection was all perfect. And now, brothers and sisters, go out and bear your cross daily for Christ, who bore the heaviest cross of all and buried your sins once and for all. Christ is your all and always will be your all. Amen.